following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, it's episode 190 of the old show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for, well, tuning in. It's just a testament to how long I have been in this business when, oh, well, thank you for tuning in for the old broadcast. It's a podcast, which is a word, let's be frank here, I don't like it. I don't like the word podcast. It's the casting of pod. It doesn't make much sense. At least certainly in the pantheon of things, it doesn't make any sense of how all this is. I mean, technically, it is a broadcast. It's something that's being said into a microphone and pieced together through the magic of editing and then sent out into the world, and people are therefore you're broadcasting it out there. You're getting it into the hands of those who wish to consume it through the various frequencies and channels of which it is. Frequencies, yeah, because look, I've been dealing with some pretty weird shit this week, mainly in the realm of individuals who still think that, and these are older people, mind you, that still think that the internet is kind of a fad. And I know it's going, oh, this newfangled internet thing, I don't know that I understand all this, it's all God. But the problem with that, I mean, it's okay to feel that way. The problem is they're in positions of power. They're in positions of decision making. These are people who are controlling, for example, advertisement monies to support shows like this and other internet type shows, streaming type shows. And you know, the problem with this, such as it is that these people who think of this as being, you know, the fad, they just don't want to let go of the old technology. Look, change is scary. I get that. I mean, change is one of those things that is truly kind of frightening. It's frightening for everybody. I embrace it, though. I do. There are certain things that do frighten me when it comes to, you know, some things about change, which is, you know, all well and good. That's fine. That's just kind of how that goes. You make those, you know, those decisions as you go along. But you have to kind of ride the crest of the curve with people in general. And everybody is now moved on to the internet and away from, you know, the older traditional things, except for some of these older people in positions of power and business. And they just don't want to embrace it. And it's kind of sad, really, because they're missing out. I'd hate for you people to think that you were losing out on something, but you are. You know, I've been paid an odd compliment from a younger gentleman who was like, man, you know, for an old guy, you sure have a better grasp of this than a lot of young people. I'm not sure how to take it, but I'll take it as a compliment, I suppose, backhanded as it may be. Because I guess there may be some truth to this, because there are some... got one on you young bastards over there that don't get it. I do understand it because I've made it my business. And those of us that sit there and try and consume all of this that's out there, like, you know, the preparations for this show, you spend a lot of time reading and discussing and I don't know, consuming as much as you can in the wild world of the internet. But to put it into to frame it, I guess, you know, put it in perspective in a nice picture frame here. I was somewhere, this is some time ago, ran into a woman who was a fan of the old show when I was at the Evil Empire, and she was, you know, she was in an older demographic, and she said, that's a polite way of saying you old bitch. She said, well, I don't know that I understand the internet. I mean, I don't really have the internet. I just don't have the internet at all. And I said, do you use Facebook? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm on Facebook all the time. That's the internet. That's what it is. That's how you get to it. It's where it's at. Oh, I don't understand the internet, but I got to go back to my Netflix shows. Oh, holy Jesus. So it's we're at this transitional point in our time in our lives here where the golden age of the internet, which of which we've talked about that very thing here before, and I'm not going to go through all of that again. But it was just kind of frustrating to hear people having these conversations about how they really do ultimately believe the things that we do here, like podcasting and internet radio, those two streaming media, is a passing fad. I guess technically it is, because there will be something that down the way that replaces it. Something better will come. I don't know when. It may be a while. But for now, what it seems like to me is that we're kind of in the thick of it. We're kind of in the throes of it here. And you have to go with the flow until something else comes along. That's really sort of the bottom line here. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. But yeah, these people that are kind of flipped out about it, you know, first of all, y'all need to calm down. Second of all, if you don't adapt to the where the people are, if you don't go where everybody else is, you're gonna lose out. You know, it's just that simple. It's not like old times. God, you know, old time. And here's what's bizarre about when you talk about old times, this is how fast society moves. Society moves at a blitz, you know, just blink your eye and things are in, and everybody's now doing something else. You remember the fad of planking? I don't know if a fad is probably a good word, but there was a thing. People were planking. They were laying down on their stomach in bizarre places, and they're having their pictures made. And they would, boy, that sounded old. And they put it onto Facebook or social media of some sort. And because they were doing it, it was a thing. That thought about planking that I just laid out there to you seems like ancient history, but it was only just a few years ago, if that. It's so strange to look back because we have moved so far. Google turned 19 years old this year. That's like prehistoric. That's ancient. A company that lasted on the internet for 19 years. Wow. But it's Google. They own you. They own the internet. They own everything. It's just what they are. And you look at these things and you understand that God, look how far we've moved. I didn't say, if you'll notice, I didn't say, look how far we've gone or come or arrived, or look how far we've risen. We've progressed, because I think for the most part, we haven't. Some, yes, technology being what it is, yes. Because with all the good advances, you have all the negative shit that goes with it. And that's, of course, you know, part of the problem you're dealing with. God, this mess at Equifax, you know, security breaches, because there's bad people out there that are out to just do you harm, and all of us being connected now electronically, digitally, if you will, it just opens up the door for more of this, and that's alarming. But we all try. I think society in general tries to step away from that a little bit and just go, okay, I'm just gonna turn a blind eye to this right now, because it doesn't affect me. It hasn't affected me yet. Why should it affect me now? Because it will at some point. So you really have to be careful. And, you know, people go, well, I'm not giving up my private information onto social media. Bitch, you already do. You do it all the time. I see some of the things that you people write in Facebook alone, which... My problem with Facebook is, you know, everybody knows all that, but it's slow. It trust me. It, what are you talking about? Facebook's not slow. Yes, there's other. I see things on Facebook that I've already seen 2 or 3, 4 weeks prior to that, and other places. And the reason why that is, it's not by design. It just happens to be that way. The reason why is, people are a mob, a group, a like-minded hive mentality will often find that movements happen very slowly. That's what that is. Everything moves slowly, because it takes a while for that large size of a thing to move. The bigger they are, the slower they are. And Facebook's a prime example of it. I the echo chamber that is Facebook is really quite amusing. But, you know, I go on to other places. I look at Reddit, you know, and there's always as guarded and weird as that site is, there's a lot there. It's remarkable because it's curated by the users. So is Facebook. Yeah, but the problem with that is that the Facebook people are showing you what they think you need to see, which is kind of like communism. It's kind of odd, really. It's bizarre to think of it in those standards, but that's kind of what it is. There's this weird rule that's in there. And then there's somebody, there's always that one dumbass who thinks that they have seen some hoax, some internet fraud type thing. It's fake news. Go ahead, say it, fake news. That one day you're going to log into Facebook and they're going to charge you to use the service. And everybody's like, oh, we can't have this. You know, I kind of wish Zuckerberg would do that. I wish one day he would just say, look, I tell you what, if you want to access our stuff now, it's going to cost you, $5 a month. And I would, as an interesting experience, an experiment, it would be interesting to see exactly how many of you people would say, F it, delete the account and be done with it. On something as minimal as $5 a month. That's what, $60 a year. You pay it right then and there. I don't think it would lose that many people. I you know, it's just because people are so itching to get onto that platform to lay it out there because it's so important for their self-validation on everything that they do in their daily lives, in their weekend, and what they're bitching about. Good God Almighty, there has to be people who are demanding prayers from other people because it's this bizarre, I don't know, it's a strange, bizarre culture that has cropped from this. And because of that, I think it reaches into so much more of our day-to-day society. Away from it. Oh, if you look away from social media and you go out and you live your life, like I did today, you know, the immigrant and I, we went out and we had our usual Sunday brunch. We went and had a bite to eat. And then we usually catch up on running a couple of errands because it's usually the time when we're both off at the same time. So we go to a grocery store. We'll go to a big box hardware store, the name of which rhymes with Lowe's. And we go and, you know, you're just like, okay, we need a broom. It's simple pedestrian shit that you need to have around the house. Broom, I needed some light bulbs. What else did we? I needed some batteries. You know, just little shit that we would get in this one stop. And you walk in, you don't think about it. There's people there, which is fine. That's what it does. Everybody seems to be congenial and polite, but there's always that sense of there's an edge there that everybody in this place is just teetering on the edge. And I know what happened because today, what is today? Today's the first day of October. That's when I recorded this show. This is how it happened. So we walk in and it's palpable. You could sense it. You could touch it. You could feel it. It's in the air that there's these people that are all in there doing exactly what we're doing, buying our brooms and light bulbs and whatever shit that we need, getting home projects completed. We're teetering on the edge of complete societal breakdown inside this store. That's the only way I can describe it. I mean, obviously that's not the case and it's not going to happen. I mean, it does, but in this, I mean, it wasn't quite that bad. But everybody's just trying to be congenial and trying to be polite. It's a Sunday, and you're doing your thing. And then it occurred to me because we needed a couple of those planter hangers. It's a thing you would screw to the wall. It comes out about a foot, and you hang a plant on the end of it. We needed a couple of those, so we're over there at the planter hanger department near the gardening area. And as I rounded the corner, the wife and I saw it standing there. And it was the source of the edge that was occurring in the store. The source of the tightening of buttholes across the land. It was the source of holy shit. Nobody's saying anything, of course. And nobody's shopping right around that particular area. They're just standing there, struck by the awesomeness of what this was. And I use the word awesome, not in a good way. Awesome means it's full of awe. It's you've ever seen a train derailment? That is an awesome sight. I don't mean that in a good way, because there's these massive pieces of engineering and machinery and steel that are just crumpled and wadded up as though some giant thing over there just knocked it all over. That's an awesome thing to see. And that's how I, you know, look it up. It's full of awe. It's a thing of wonder. And there it is. We're all standing there, basking in the glow of Christmas lights. Christmas trees there in the Lowe's. And it's like, oh, fuck. And everybody, and it's bound to happen. I get it. It's the 1st of October. That's when you pull this shit out. If you're in the retail world, that's what you do. You pull it out. And here we go. The downhill slide to the 25th of December. Now, between now and then, we will be bombarded with everything about this thing, the commercialization of it, the go, 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 now, must have. And on top of that, there'll be the annual bitching of the coffee company who has their holiday coffee cups out. And it doesn't have any Christmas symbolism on it because there's a war against Christmas. Fuck you. You're ramming this holiday down everybody's throat since the 1st of October. And in some rare cases before that. We've eaten up Thanksgiving. That's just a comma. That's what Lewis Black has always said. Thanksgiving is just a comma. And he's right. The holiday season goes all the way to the Super Bowl. And there it was. And we were just standing there. And of course, the wife, she loves holidays. She loves Christmas. And I try and accommodate her as much as I can. And she's like, oh, look, it's Christmas. And I'm sitting there going, oh, for God's sake, shoot me now. Yeah, as you can tell, I've gotten a little jaded about the holiday. But I'm there to get a broom, a couple of planter hangers, some light bulbs, and some batteries, and get my ass out of there. Which we did. But before we could get out, we were ready to go. We had everything that we needed. We're standing there. We didn't have a basket. We're just each holding the stuff that we need. And we go, okay, do we have everything we came here to get? Because I'm ready to get the hell out of here because these people are really, you could tell, it's like, they're, oh, it's Christmas. Oh, shit. Here it comes. Oh, fuck. Here we are. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's fucking Christmas. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? You could feel that in the air. And I thought, you know, okay, it's time for us to leave. So we make our way to the registers there at the front of the store. You know, 7 or 8 registers. Only one of which was open. And the line went all the way back to, like, you know, the window department. Except for the other. The self-checkout, which has 4 registers. You got to do it by yourself, mind you. Well, not really by yourself, but supervised. You go to the four over there, and you get to there. So, and of course, that's where they force you through it. That's the funnel by which they're gonna work you out of there. So we're over there, and of course, out of the 4 registers, only 3 of them were operating because there's always one of them that's not. And we get there, and everything we scanned.
Please wait for attendant.
There had to be this poor woman that was having to work the 4 registers, was happening with all these people at the same time, and it's like. Y'all are saying, I get it, you're trying to save money on labor by not having people to work for $8 an hour at this shitty store because, you know, God help you if you go broke. But we're going to go through this. And ever tried to buy a broom through the self-checkout line? It doesn't work right because to prevent theft, after you scan the thing, you got to put it in the bagging area. It's a broom. It's, what, 4 feet long or so? 4.5 feet long? It doesn't go in a bag. And the lady, and the machine stops everything. Item not detected in baggage area. Item not detected in baggage. It's, oh, God. So this poor woman is bouncing around from all these registers, dealing with the exact same thing with all the other registers that are going on right there because she's having to do this. Well, I'm starting to lose my shit over this, and I'm starting to grumble. And so's the wife at this point. She's about had enough. The lady comes over to the register and she says, she's trying to be kind and polite, but we're all of us in the store now have the same thing. It's get me the fuck out of here. Make this thing do what you're what it's supposed to do. I have to leave. But no, she's trying to be pleasant. And she's over there having to reset the machine and do all this. 6 items we had to have her come in and approve everyone. And it's like, I turned to her and I said, why is this happening? What's the point of this? And of course, she wouldn't answer it. And I said, this is probably the last time I'm coming here. I can tell you that right now, because you don't open up a register. Look, I don't like people as much as the next guy, but there are times when it's good to be able to hand a broom to somebody running a cash register who scans the thing, and then they run it over that little magnet thingy to prevent you from setting off the alarm when you go to the door, right? But no, we get our stuff. We finally got everything paid for. We're walking out, and this woman goes, "No, wait. Oh, God, what?" It's like a never-ending fucking nightmare. No, you got to set the bag over here on this thing and run the little magnet thingy, and it stops the shoplifting thing. And then there's the checking of the receipt, and it just is, you get two steps closer to the door, and yet there's something else, and another step to the door, and there's something else, and then you go outside, and you think, "Oh my God, I've escaped it, freedom!" And it doesn't work quite like that, but that's kind of what it is. And you get in the car and you're pissed off because you've just dealt with some corporate bullshit nightmare that somebody came up with just so they could save a few bucks in labor. But by God, there's a 20-foot Christmas tree in there that needs to be shoved up the ass of the guy that runs that fucking company. It's the 1st of October. Let's calm the fuck down. It's 86 degrees here. It's hard to be thinking about Christmas, and there wasn't anybody over there going, "Oh, look, Henry, we've got to get our wreaths." And that poor bastard, Henry's like going, "I can't wait to get out of here and get into that bottle of gin. Oh, God, to make it stop." Because I've come to the conclusion that the holiday shopping, all of this stuff, is marketed to people mostly, I know it's stereotypical, and it's probably judgmental on my part, but I don't care. It's marketed to women that enjoy the holiday. Because it's certainly not guys, because most men won't openly admit that they're big fans of the holiday season. Because it's, you know, that's why football happens when it does. Because, and don't get me started on that shit either, but that's why it's on TV. It's that one week or several times a week thing where they could just kind of disappear into the ether for a bit, and they could go disappear into a four-hour broadcast of a football game and be done with it. And then, you know, that helps even the keel. That's why they sell a lot of extra liquor and beer around this time of year. Because of that, because the women in our lives are like, "Oh, my God, look at those lights. Oh, aren't they just gorgeous? Oh, look, it's a little inflatable penguin. Isn't he just cute? He's only $100. Until I stick it with my knife. But that's what, you know, I know it's early, but I got to get into it, you know. There was a time when it wasn't like this. There was a time that it wasn't so in your face. And there was a time when people rolled with it. And there was a time when we were all a little happier over it. And that time was ancient history, predating the planking era, but going further back. And that was a time when it was simpler. I know you can't go back in time. You can never go home, as they say. And that's true. And I get it. And I understand it. And that's the way it is. But it's not going to stop me from complaining about it, because, you know, I'm just trying to make as much sense out of this as I possibly can. And if it makes me feel better, then thank you for enduring it with me.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
It seems strange to me, and I know people have hobbies, and that's great. Have a hobby. Hobbies are good. Hobbies keep you from going on a five-state murder spree. It keeps everything in line, right? And it's a distraction, and it's good. But what is it with the lemon trees? Lord have mercy. Over my entire life, it seems, there's always been somebody whose father was really anal about the goddamn lemon tree he's been growing since a seed. This came from a couple of posts I saw during the hurricane evacuations down in Florida. People were posting pictures of the old man's lemon tree in a bucket, and they were having to leave it behind when they were evacuating in the path of these hurricanes, and they were like, "Oh shit, Dad's gonna leave that damn lemon tree behind. Holy shit, everybody's gonna freak the fuck out. It's a lemon tree, for Christ's sakes." But now, the older I get, the more I'm thinking, you know what? That's not such a bad idea. Perhaps the next time I get a good lemon with a fat seed in it, I should stick it into some dirt and see what happens.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, let's get into some music, shall we? Lighten the mode.
Are you going to play Christmas music this year?
No. No, I'm not. It's a war on Christmas. Fuck you. It's not how that works. All right. But this is pleasant, actually. This is, and it's sort of appropriate, I guess. I told you last time about this new record we got at the radio station. It's called Makeshift Six. It's a compilation record of Memphis musicians, primarily garage musicians and guys and ladies as well, from the Midtown area here in Memphis. Not far from where this show is actually being produced at this moment. Actually, we're right in the middle of it. To be a little bit more precise, down the street from me. And such as it is. This record, Makeshift Six, is, as the name would imply, there are five others behind it as well. And they're great records. They really are. If you can get your hands on them, I highly do recommend it. And here's the beauty of it. The money goes to the Church Health Center, which is a health program, an insurance program, if you will, for entertainers in the city and musicians that can't afford proper medical care, and they do take care of you. And it's pretty cool. I can speak of this because I am a member of it myself. And I know it sounds like a thing, but it's a nonprofit thing. And there's doctors, they take care of you if you're sick. And it's done at very, very reduced rates for people like us who are trying to make a buck in the showbiz industry. And being Memphis is a showbiz town, that's all part of it. But I digress. The music that's on this collection is very good. It's very different and very cool. And I got another tune off of this from a gentleman by the name of Mark Edgar Stewart. He's got a tune that's on this record. It's actually quite fun, and it's very enjoyable. And I'm gonna give it a spin right here for you from Radioland. The song is called Stuck in a Rut. Here's Mark Edgar Stewart from Radioland.
I need a brand new start and go where I've never been. Make it last like an old Toyota, so I can always win. Give me one more chance to prove that I'm not lush. I can be like old Abe Lincoln, someone you can trust. Leaving home was a long time ago. Oh, I had a plan, but man, those wheels move too slow. Being high ain't enough when you're stuck in a rut. I bought a new pair of shoes to carry my heavy load. I don't need no snakeskin leather to go where I want to go. I want someone to love who looks better than me. I ain't talking drop dead beauty, but somewhere in between. Going down where the wildflowers grow. Look for love who knows how to make my blood flow. 'Cause being high ain't enough when you're stuck in a rut. Need one heck of a buzz to make me feel less old. I was lost and found my answer via UFO. I met a man on the moon. He said to me, what's up? Gravity ain't worth missing when you're stuck in a rut. Passed out on the side of the road. Well, I need a car that knows how to drive me home slow. Cause being high ain't enough when you're stuck in a rut. Cause being high ain't enough when you're stuck in a rut. Da 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 da.
Mark Edgar Stewart, Stuck in a Rut, here from Radioland. Great tune. It's on the Makeshift 6 record. Or find him on, I believe he's in the iTunes. I'm sure he's at TuneCore. All Amazon, all those places. Go get you his music. The Memphis music scene here is very cool. It's very diverse, and it's just downright enjoyable. And when, as we talked about today and this or tonight or wherever you're consuming this, the pressure that is on us as people can become overwhelming. And there's no need to worry about being overwhelmed. And I talk about this stuff because I know that most of you tend to agree with some of the things that we talk about here. And yeah, to be fair, yeah, there's a little bit of exaggeration that goes on here, but it's not far from it. The exaggeration is of the colors of it, if you will. The situation still exists in this painting that we've laid out for you, but I want to make the blues a little more bluer and the reds a little more redder. That's kind of how that is. And it's, I don't know, it's what I do. It's enough to make one think, I suppose. But nevertheless, that's what that is. You've heard what's coming up next time on the program. And until then, I'm done. I've got to go. I've got places to get into, things. I've got trouble to start somewhere, I guess. We shall see. Please, in the meantime, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.